Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I want you to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to give you two scriptures. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And hold on to your place there in Matthew, because we're going to be spending a lot of time in Matthew today. But Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11, we're going to start out in Matthew 6, verse 22. Jesus, the guy who spoke in red letters, said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now we need to understand when we read this that Jesus does not say the eye is the light. The eye is the lamp. The light is whatever fills the lamp. If it's bright, the lamp will be bright. If the light is dull, the light will be dull. But the eye is the lamp which holds or contains the light. Now, I just want to say this before we go to Luke 11. Man cannot live without light. Man cannot live without light. Lightlessness, or dark caves, if you've ever seen any of the animals that live in totally dark caves, what is the there's two things about them. One is they're blind. They can't see. They lose the ability of their eyes. And the second is they're usually transparent because they have no pigmentation to them. In other words, they lose what identifies them, you know, of their outward appearance. So it's really important to understand that if you don't have light, if your light is darkness, pretty soon you will lose your eyesight. You will lose your ability to discern light and dark because it's all the same to you. Okay, the second thing is you lose your pigmentation. You lose who you are. You lose the physical attributes of being and walking in the light. You become weak. You become less than what you were if you were in the light. I mean, even in humans, we need sunlight for our physical bodies because sunlight is what helps produce vitamin D in us. And a lot of times we're taking supplements and eating all these foods to get vitamin D. If you're not in the sunlight, if you avoid all sunlight, you get a deficiency of vitamin D. And that's part of what this is all about. So we need sunlight. God has created us to walk in the light, to be in the light, to have that light on the inside of us since our eye is the lamp. Now go to Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Jesus again says, this is about the same thing, but it's a little bit different. "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light." I'm sorry, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. "But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." See, if our eye is good, now what does that mean? I really don't like the translation "good." If you go back to the King James Version, it says "single." If your eye is single, if you look up the Greek word, it means good or single. But the emphasis is on singular, single, being single. Meaning that when your eye is good, you're looking at the right stuff. When your eye is right, you're looking at the right stuff. Now, why is that important? Because whatever you look at, whatever your eye gives its attention to, is your light. I want to say that again. Whatever you are looking at, that's your light. If I'm looking at God, then God is my light. If I'm looking at His Word becomes my light. But if I'm looking at pornographic stuff, that pornography becomes my light. And what it does is light, Luke says light illuminates the entire room. That's why you set a light or a lamp on a stand, because it illuminates everything around it. Whatever you focus on with your eye, whatever you are looking at, whatever holds your attention, That is what will begin to permeate everything in your life. That's why the King James says, when your eye is singular, when your eye is single, you know, that will light up your life. But if your light be darkness, if I'm looking at the wrong things, that's going to begin to be my worldview. That's going to begin to make give me the basis for the decisions that I make, because that darkness or the light is the light of my life. And by looking at it, I'm setting it up on a stand in my life, and it begins to illuminate everything about me. Amen? And that's just, like it or not, that's just the way that it is. Now, David said, King David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. So that's why it's important. David understood, I've got to be single, because when his sight wasn't singular, he started looking around and he saw Bathsheba. And it cost the nation dearly, cost David dearly. David became a murderer because what he thought was light, I'm the king, I can do what I want to, I see something good, I ought to be able to have it. You know, when that lust entered in, it clouded his vision to where he was, what with scripture we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, the wicked grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And David, because he was looking at darkness, began to be deceived and began to walk in that deception. And because he was deceived, he thought the light he had was good. And he thought he had gotten by with it until God sent the prophet, Nathan. Nathan says, God knows what you did, and it was wrong. Don't you love that? I mean, little kids, when mommy comes in the room, says, I know what you did. I mean, if you didn't do anything, you just start shaking. It's like, they know. What do they know? What do they know? What? It's like, you don't know, but it's like, you're remembering all these things. Did she just find out about what I did 2 weeks ago? Did they just find, you know, you're worried about it. Why? Because you're hiding. It makes us nervous. Nathan came in and says, I know what you've been doing. God showed me. And David repented, but there were some things that he still had to go through, even though he repented, even though God accepted him back, there were certain things that he had to go through because he had started walking down the path. And even though God forgives us and even though he cleanses us, there's some things that God can't take back because you already initiated them. It's like when you drive a car over a cliff, you can repent on the way down. But you're still going to hit bottom. Well, why didn't God save me from this? Well, because you already launched some events going into into that direction, and it's too late to turn it back. But God can save you and keep you from dying when you hit the bottom. He can preserve your life in it, but you'll at least lose the car. Understand what I'm saying? Well, David says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. A person who concentrates on what is good, which is the teaching of God, is healthy. But a person who focuses on what is bad, the false teaching of the world, becomes full of darkness. See, it becomes light and dark. It literally becomes, if I'm focusing on God, He'll give me more revelation. He'll give me more understanding if I walk in the light that I have. But if I'm not walking in the light of God, if I'm not walking in that, what we've been saying is, if you're not walking in the truth, you're walking in something else. And if you're not walking in the truth, you're walking in a lie, because it's not the truth. And if you do that, it becomes darkness to you, and bad things will start to happen from it. And you'll, well, I don't know why this is happening to me. And 99% of the people around you could tell you exactly why it's happening to you, but you don't have a clue. Ever been like that? I mean, you listen to people, well, I don't know why God let this happen. Do you really want to know? I mean, one time, we used to have two cars. And one car we didn't drive a whole lot. You know, it was a big car. We didn't really enjoy it that much. And it's like, well, it's there. And when you need a second car, it's real nice to have. And I found myself, and we were paying insurance on this thing. And it's like, man, that's a lot of money to pay insurance on a car that you don't drive. And I didn't catch it. I started confessing, just saying to myself, we don't really need two cars. I wish I only had one car. But I didn't want to sell the other car because we still used it now and then. Oh, I only want one car. Only need one car. It's stupid to be making this other payment when you hardly ever use a car. I only want one car. But I'm not going to sell it now. But I'm confessing. We're driving through Cumberland one day. Roads are a little bit wet. There's one car in front of me and a good distance in front of me. And all of a sudden that car just lost it and just started spinning around. And I knew there is no way I can miss this car. I crashed into it. Totaled our car. Their car got fixed. It was one of these cheap little jobs. It got fixed. Our frame got bent. Now, guess which car I was driving? Not the car I was complaining about, not the car I wanted to get rid of, but the car I enjoyed. I mean, we had bought that car brand new. It was a great little car. We loved that car. It performed well for us, but we lost that car. And I'm thinking, Lord, why didn't you tell us? I mean, if you would have told me to get over one lane, I could have just gotten by the car without a scratch. Why did this happen? And I knew there was a reason, but I didn't understand what it was. It was several weeks later. I came home from the church and hopped up. I always jumped up on the back steps when he came into the house, and I just jump up on the step. And as I jumped up, as I landed, it came to me. So you've been saying you only wanted one car. He says, you tied my hands. I couldn't even warn you. I had to take my angels off. But Lord, why that car? He says, you didn't say which car you wanted to get rid of. Why do these things happen to us? Huh. Could it be the words that we speak? Could it be our attitude that we speak things without knowledge? That we begin to set things in motion by our words, by our faith, by our attitude. And we're not even aware, we're not even conscious of it, but in the spiritual realm, these things have effect.
Yeah, that's right.
David said, I will set no evil thing before me. I'm not going to look at it. Well, he learned that through experience. It wasn't because he woke up one day and was this nice, cute little boy, you know, that everybody loved. It's like, no, he blew it really bad. And after he'd been through all this, oh, Lord, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. See, you've got to set truth before your eyes. You've got to set your mark as to what you want. In business, they call it setting goals and planning, you know, strategic planning to get there. Well, what do you want? Well, if you want something, don't talk against it. Don't go around, well, this will never happen to me. I'd like to have this job, but everybody else will get it before me. Well, you go in with that attitude, and guess what? Everyone else is going to get it before you. Why? Because your expectation is it won't work for you. And there's Christians, unfortunately, that live their life that way because they were taught as children, well, you're the stupid one, you're the slow one, you're the ugly one, you're the one that everybody will pass over, you're the one that they won't pick for the baseball team, you're the one, and it goes on and on and on, and you get that on the inside of you, and that becomes your light. And you think it's light. Well, I really know who I am. No, you don't. Because who you are is who God created you to be, not always what everybody else is telling you that you are. You know, they told Albert Einstein, forget math, you're no good at it. Albert Einstein. I mean, most of our modern technology is based on his mathematical equations. They told Thomas Edison, says, kid, today we would have put him on Ritalin. I mean, today we would have drugged Thomas Edison up. He said, you have no ability to maintain your focus. And they kicked him out of school. Wow, one of the greatest inventors in the world. See, now, if either one of these people would have said and accepted what everybody said about them, you still wouldn't have heard of them. But Thomas Edison rejected what people said. Albert Einstein rejected what people said because they had something on the inside of their heart that they would not let people talk them out of. Amen? See, the lamp of the body is the eye. When the eye is good, the whole body is full of light. Now understand this. When your eye is good, when your eye is single, in other words, when your eye sees right, not just the right thing, because we think if I'm looking at the right thing, it'll work for me. No, it's not just seeing the right thing. See, I can read the Word of God, and I can desire to have it work in my life, but I can go out and forget all about it. Just forget it. I can read it one minute and turn around and forget about it. Love your enemies. I can go out and say, okay, I want to kill everyone that disagrees with me. Pray for those who persecute you. Boy, I want vengeance on them. It's like, well, which is it going to be? See, you've got to be single. Your eyes got to be clear on these matters. So it's not just looking at the right thing, it's looking right. It's having a right perspective of things, a right understanding of things, not just looking at the right thing. Do you understand that? See, when you're walking, when your eye sees rightly, you're actually walking in the light of God. You're actually walking and putting into practice the Word of God that you know. And it begins to shine God's goodness, His blessing, His anointing on everything that you do, because it brings light to the whole house. If I'm practicing it, if I'm walking in the things that I know I ought to be doing, it illuminates the whole body, the whole life. Now you can look at this with parents and kids. When the parents are telling the kids, well, you do what I tell you, not what I do. Boy, that you're already broadcasting, I know I'm not doing right, but I know the right thing to do. And then you wonder why your kids turn out like you. Yeah, they know the right thing, and they think if I just know the right thing, I don't have to do it, because knowing it is my salvation. No, it's not. You can know the right thing to do, but if you never do it, wrong things will happen. It's called life. It's called living. It's called reality. It's called, you can call it spiritual. You can do all these things, but it's like, but it's the truth. Because we've got to keep our eyes single, because if you don't, you will be deceived. See, the eye, the light, or if our eye is darkness, how can we see clearly? How can you really see accurately if what you're looking at is darkness? How can you really make right discernment if what you're looking at is cloudy and there's not the light of the living God in the midst of it? See, we need eyes to see, don't we? We need ears to hear. We all have eyes, we all have ears, but we can see and not see. We can hear and not hear. And it'll mess us up. We need to pray for God to renew in us a right heart. But now I want to get into a little bit of a different question. Why? I want to get into this more in the future, but why can we not see? Why do we have such a problem of seeing? How can we look at the right thing but not see right? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. At verse 13, Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. And we might say today, dim-witted, just dull. I mean, we're just not sharp. We call evil good and good evil, and we have politicians. Well, I believe in God. I just don't think we should talk about him publicly. I believe that every child should be raised with the knowledge of right or wrong. However, there is no such thing as right or wrong. And it's like when you start talking that way, you bring confusion into everything. You know, we're so worried today about kids drawing pictures of guns in school. But you can't tell them it's wrong, because there is no right or wrong. So we're going to punish kids for doing something wrong, but yet we teach them that there is no right or wrong except in the own individual's mind. If it's wrong to you, then don't do it. Well, what does that mean? It means I can beat up the kid next door to me, because it's okay for me to do that. It's now, pastors get by with this, and this has actually happened to national ministers. They've written books about it, of where it's okay for them to have sex with multiple women because they are on a higher spiritual level than most people. Excuse me? I mean, but they've written books. Say, it's okay. And they've been caught in scandals. And they apologize because, you know, you just aren't spiritual enough to really understand how spiritual they are. But it's this concept of, well, it may be wrong for you, but because I'm so spiritual, it's not necessarily wrong for me. Oh, really? But you know, when you're deceived, that's how you start living. I don't like to be lied to, but it's okay for me to lie. Because when I lie, I lie for the sincerest purposes. A lie is still a lie, isn't it? Last time I looked, and the Bible says liars don't get into heaven. It doesn't say those who lie with good intentions will still get in. I mean, how many of you really have good intentions? I mean, you really want to do the right thing. How many of you still mess up? Do you think everybody's going to say, well, I know you really messed up and you caused 10 people to die, but your intentions were okay, so we'll just pass, let it go. No. They don't. You don't go on trial and get justified for having good intentions. They try you for what you did and what actually happened. Just because you had good intentions doesn't get you off the hook, does it? But yet, in our own eyes, it does. I didn't mean for it to turn out that way. I know everything I did looked like I was going that direction, but I really didn't mean it in a bad way. We're self-deceived. Well, it says here, the people's hearts have grown dull. Let's keep reading in Matthew 13, 15. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, now notice the words, their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand in their hearts with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Oh, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. See, there's a difference. The two main problems people have of why they don't see the deception, why they don't see clearly, their hearts have grown dull and they've closed their eyes. In other words, they just say, I don't see that, I don't see it, I don't see it. Because once I admit I see something, now I'm accountable for what I see. And as long as I don't see it, and you hear Christians talk about this, well, I just don't understand it. Well, why don't you understand it? Well, your heart's dull. You've closed your eyes and you just don't want to see it, because if I do, I become accountable for it. So I'll just keep this hand up in front of me, and I'll say I see clearly, but I'm really not able to see anything at all. And we begin to practice that, and pretty soon it just becomes a normal way of living. It just becomes, well, this is it helps me cope, some people will say. It helps me get through, but the problem is they've closed their eyes. Let me give you four quick scriptures here. The Apostle John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin. I mean, people walk around, well, I don't sin. Liar. You know, does that mean you're perfect? I mean, only one person was perfect. That was Jesus. Only Jesus lived without any sin. You and I, oh, we sin all the time, don't we? We blow it. We mess it up. And not always intentional. I mean, I'm not talking about intention. We just don't know enough. We're just not fast enough or sharp enough or whatever. But praise God for His grace and mercy. Because God can only extend mercy to those who ask for it. He can only give grace to those that know that they have need of grace. Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. Praise God. See, as long as I say I'm healthy, I'm saying I don't need Jesus. I don't need a Savior. I don't need a Lord. I don't need a forgiver. I don't need someone to sustain me because I can do it all on my own. Second scripture, James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. We can deceive our own heart simply by not bridling our tongue. Ever been around people and sometimes you just want to tell them, just don't talk. Just don't say anything. The best thing you can say right now is nothing. Just be quiet. And they can't. They just absolutely can't. It's like, you just keep on talking. He said, but the problem is you deceive your own heart. Because we think the more we talk, the smarter we are. And we're self-deceived. Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Oh man, I've been around charismatics that are weird. If you've been charismatic for very long, you've been around some of those people too. You know, when I remember one person says, I only hear the voice of God. I don't hear the voice of the devil. Wow. Man, you must really be hot stuff. Because there was this man, Jesus, and the devil talked to him. He spent 40 days on a mountaintop fasting, dedicating himself, setting himself apart for the purposes of God, cleansing himself. I mean, have you fasted for 48? I haven't. I have no desire to. I mean, God would really have to tap me really good with a 2x4 to get me to fast for that time. And it'd probably be a lot easier if I were unconscious during the fast, you know. I don't want this job. I don't want to do this. But at the end of this 40 days of dedication, who came to him? An angel of God? No. Did the Father manifest himself to the Son? No. Who showed up after? I mean, this is serious dedication. This is serious setting himself apart for the 3-year ministry that Jesus was going to have. And who showed up at the end of the 40-day fast? The devil. But we've got people, well, the devil doesn't talk to me. I want to say, he's talking right now. He may not be talking to you, but he's talking through you. Because I'm talking to a devil. Because this isn't right. See, you've got to have discernment. You've got to keep your eyes single on that. And in all intentions, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to say, I don't listen to the voice of the devil, but that's not what they said. And later on, their actions proved that that's not what they were really saying. But you know, we do these things. Our if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Listen, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. But Gordon Brubaker, you better pray for him a lot. Because if Christ isn't with him, oh, he needs prayer. I want to tell you, he needs prayer. But through Christ, he can do all things. See, it's that reliance on Jesus. It's knowing that I am dependent upon him. It's knowing that I need his help. I need his voice. I need his direction. I need his power. I need his source. I need his input. I need all these things. And by recognizing that, I'm keeping my eyes single. And he will give me light because I'm looking to him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And one of the areas that we mess up in so much is we make Christ so hard to understand. I heard a fellow say years ago, he was listening to a preacher preach, and he says, man, he must be deep because I don't understand anything he said. That's not deep. That means he's not saying anything. It's not that you're missing. I mean, at least when Jesus talked to the crowds in parables, they went away and said, boy, that was a good story, wasn't it? But when you walk away and say, I don't even know what they were talking about. Either you're not hearing or the man's not saying anything. God is so deep, he speaks plainly. See, you have to be a theologian to mess up the scripture because it is so simple to understand. I mean, you can study the Greek and the Hebrew and all those things, and they give us greater insight into things, but by and large, the scripture's pretty accurate. You know, any version you pick up, by and large, you know, there's all of them have certain problems with certain words because they've interpreted according to their understanding of how things are at the moment that they interpret it, but all of them have some good things in them, and all of them can teach you how to live. All of them can teach you about faith in Jesus Christ. But we don't live by the written word alone. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what you can't understand through the written word, God can reveal to you because the word does not contradict itself. It's going to be true all the time. If you find a Bible verse, well, I just don't understand what it's talking about. Study it, research it, look at it, because the Bible will support itself. See, deception starts when we close our eyes. When you get away from the simplicity of Christ, you start walking in deception. You get away from these things and you start deceiving yourself. And, well, I just can't understand it. God's ways, you hear, God's ways are so much higher than my ways. Well, they are, because we're conceived in sin. We're conceived, not we don't have the mind of Christ. But God has redeemed us. God has saved us. He has put His Spirit into us. And remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? He will take what is mine and give it to you. He will bring to your mind all the things that I have said and reveal it to you. He said the Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you, direct you into all the truth. See, we've got one to rely on. He doesn't lie. He is the author of truth. He is truth. It comes from Him. He's not a man that He should lie. And we've got this God living and dwelling in us, but you have to open your eyes. You have to begin to hear things that are not always the most comfortable things you've heard. But one thing I found out about God, and this is how God tends to work with me, and I think He tends to work with most people this way. God doesn't come down on me and point His finger at me and accuse me. Boy, you did that wrong. You did that wrong. You better get your life right. You better straighten up. You better fly right. He doesn't do that. But He'll say, have you thought about this? Do it this way. And as I begin to walk in that, I realize that, oh, I really wasn't doing it right before, was I? And then He'll say, no, you weren't. But you didn't know any better. But now He's given me more light, more understanding. And if I walk in that, see, the good thing for all of us, I don't have to walk in the light that you have. You don't have to walk in the light I have. I have to walk in the light that I have. See, God doesn't judge you according to what anybody else does or doesn't do. He looks at it and says, I've given you light. Walk in it. That's what He wants. Walk in the light that you have. See, that's part of the simplicity of Christ we get away from. Well, I've got to be like the greatest theologian in the world. Why? Did God call you to be a theologian? Well, no. Well, what did He call you as? Well, walk in the light. Walk in that light that God has for you. You know, the world says bloom where you're planted. Walk in the light that you have. Do the things that God set before you to do. And when you do those things, He'll give you more to do. I mean, some people think that, well, if I do what God told me to do, once I'm done, I mean, it's over. No, that part is over, but there's promotion. Hallelujah. There's promotion. Of course, some of us don't want to finish what God gave us to do because we don't want to be promoted. That's not good either. Let me close with just a couple thoughts. We've closed our eyes to the things of God. And in order to see what God wants you to see, you've got to willingly open your eyes. You've got to willingly want to see in order to see. Now, Scott Peck, author of People of the Lie, and he's a professional psychiatrist, wrote several years ago, the evil are the people of the lie, deceiving others as they build layer upon layer of self-deception, forever fleeing the light of self-exposure and the voice of their own conscience. That's awesome. They're running away from their own conscience. In other words, they've got a voice saying, you really shouldn't do this. But they go ahead and do it anyway. And he says, that's evil. Now, Scott Peck's a Christian. And in his book, he says he believes in America, I think it's 4 out of 10 Americans are demon-possessed. Now, why does he say that? He says, because there are 4 out of 10 Americans that live the life of a lie. In other words, they just cannot tell the truth. They just can't do it. And he says, if you can't tell the truth, you got a devil. Now he says, psychiatry doesn't have any term for evil. And he wrote the book, People of the Lie, to try to come up with a psychological definition of evil. And what he comes down on, evil is people of the lie. Because they can't tell the truth. I mean, I have met people that if you ask them if the sky is blue today, they say, no, I think it's purplish. With a little bit of haze in it. I mean, they just cannot tell the truth. Just cannot. And it's like, they lie over things they don't have to lie about. I knew one guy several years ago. It really gets me. He was bragging about how he practices to deceive people. Practices to deceive them. And he was really good at it, he told me. I'm thinking, there is something drastically wrong with this picture. And he was a Christian, quote unquote. I don't know how you can do that. Well, let me give you another quote from Scott Peck. We become evil by attempting to hide from ourselves. The evil, boy, doesn't this sound like Bible? The evil hate the light that shows them up, exposes them, that penetrates their deceptions. Because that's what light does. Light penetrates your deceptions. Light begins to come in and gives you a clear picture of yourself. When God showed up to me when I was 19 years old, he asked me a simple question. He said, and you call yourself a Christian? And as I tried to explain to God why I was a Christian, my father's a pastor, been in church all my life, I'm the Sunday school quiz kid, you know, I'm basically pretty good. You know, I've never really done anything really seriously wrong. And the more I tried to explain to God why I was a Christian, I was just convicted that none of those things make any difference. Because it was all about me. You know, being Christian has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Of yielding your life to Him. Of letting Him live in you. Letting Him direct your life. That's what it is to be a Christian. A relationship. And it doesn't mean that you're insignificant. It's not that you're worthless, but it's that God loves you so much and thinks you're so valuable. He says, I'm going to make you my home, and I'm going to come. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things, says, I'm going to come and make my home in you. If you give me place, I'll direct your life. I'll look out for you. I'll warn you so that you don't get into trouble. I'll help you if you let me, if you let me. But I've got to have my eyes open. I've got to be looking for my Savior, looking for Jesus to come to me. Amen? Looking for His help in every time of trouble. And looking for His help when there is no trouble. Just look for Him. Keep my eyes single. If the eye is good, oh, it gives light to the whole body. But if the eye is bad, if I'm looking at the wrong things, and I'm walking in darkness, and I won't even know it, because I think it's the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We're to follow after Him and to seek after Him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we come to you. We come to you, God. Lay our lives before you, Father. Lord, I ask you that you reveal yourself to us, Lord, in ways that we can grasp and understand. But Lord, I pray for us that we would choose to open our eyes, that we would choose to give you place in our life, that we would choose to yield to you, Father. For when we do, you will come and live in us and give us life. Give us strength. Give us wisdom and insight and understanding to all the things that we need. We thank you, Father, that you are our source of all things. We acknowledge you, Father, in all of our ways. Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love you, Father, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. He's telling us to be single-minded, to have our eye be clear and focused on you, Father. Father, we want to live that way. That's our desire, to please you. Help us. Help us, Father. Let our eyes see, our ears hear, and let your strength enable us to do those things that we know are the right things to do. This is our prayer. This is our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.